What if there was a conversational strategy that allowed you to educate your referral sources, talk about what you're good at, discuss some of your biggest wins, and do all this in an entertaining manner that both disarms and charms your listener? And what if you're able to do this employing a narrative device that is hardwired into the human brain?
That was Mark Powers, and I'm Sean McNallis with Atticus, and we're here to talk about storytelling, which is asset number 5 in the Rainmakers program. In your quick start kit, behind tab number 5, you'll find a form outlining how to construct a good marketing story. If you have your book with you, that's great. Open it up and follow along. If you're not, if you don't have it, don't worry. We'll explain everything in detail as we go.
So, Sean, let me take a minute before we get into asset number 5, storytelling, and just remind everybody about where we are and set the context again. In this rainmaking program for litigators, what we're doing is we're building our marketing wealth, as we like to call it, by adding assets, rainmaking assets, and there's 21 of them. And we're working through those, through these segments. This one happens to be about asset number 5, storytelling. And there are 5 habits that we also want to develop that accelerate our ability to develop cases and good cases and do that on a predictable basis. And today, as we talk about storytelling, I'd like everybody to be reminded that this is actually a conversational style that is really one of the least expensive, most ethical and effective ways to market your referral sources, and market to your referral sources, to market yourself and your firm. Unlike print or television media, a good word-of-mouth program is going to produce trust and transfer that trust and help generate some of the highest quality cases that we can. And so when referred clients show up, studies show they're more motivated and they're more loyal in the long run.
Well, Mark, before we get started, what do you want the listeners to come away with from this discussion?
Well, a few things. First off, that a lot of litigators are actually natural storytellers, but some might not think of themselves as natural storytellers. What I want you to come away from this segment is that absolutely you can do this, that everyone can learn to tell a story, and that it, if they get it down or when they get it down, it's one more tool that they get to add to their referral marketing program. And if we do it correctly, it's one more way to build trust and rapport and educate those referral sources. A good story can demonstrate our competency and build credibility. There's a colleague, Sean, that you and I both know, Richard Stone of the StoryWorks Institute. And he says, stories are one of the oldest and most persistent forms of communication. In fact, they're such a part of us that our human brain, and I mentioned this earlier, is hardwired to learn best when stories carry the message.
And really, if you look around our society, stories are everywhere. You know, they provide the plots for books, the themes for movie, theater, television, the 24-hour news channels bring you the stories of the day. Every newspaper you pick up is full of stories. The best teachers, leaders, and communicators have always recognized the importance of stories and have long used them to convey their lessons, their messages, and inspiration. A well-told story has the power to evoke a lot of wonderful images and fill the listener with emotion.
You know, and that's such a good point, John. When you harness the power of storytelling in our referral marketing process and program, you capitalize on the receptivity that's already built into our human brain. We're pre-wired to learn best through these stories. So when you do this, you're drawing on this age-old talent when we used to use stories. And when we use stories like this with potential clients, they can demonstrate expertise, illustrate how we can help those clients, and educate those people about our firm.
So tell us how a rainmaker officially acquires this asset.
Well, to acquire this asset, we're going to need to construct at least 3 name stories and then use those stories at least 10 times and make sure that they're actually doing their job to inform and educate our potential referral sources, our potential clients, and make sure those people are getting the message.
Can you tell us what you mean by 3 named stories?
3 named stories. You'll create a series of stories, and they'll have a theme to it. For example, I have a story called The Fishing Story, or I have a story called My Mom's Story. And so they're named, but they're stories that when they're told, they leave behind a message for the listener. I think we'll talk about this later on, but I like to think of them as the stealth bomber of marketing, because once you tell the story, it's a way not only to educate, inform, all of the things we've talked about, but it's a way of bragging on yourself without ever having to brag, and a message is left behind.
Can you give
Does
us
that make sense?
Yeah. Is there a formula for storytelling?
Yeah, there is. The formula, it's 3-part, and you might want to write this down. It's also in your Quick Start Kit behind the Asset Number 5 tab. But if you're at a place where that's not there, you might write down the 3 parts of the story. So a typical story will have part 1. And the first part, we set out the context of the story. And the story will, when it's set out properly, it'll contain a lot of detail that pulls the listener in and sets the scene for who the players are and how the story is going to play out. Part 2 is the main characters we've described are placed in some sort of challenge or dilemma or conflict. And the third part of the story resolves the conflict or the challenge, and the message is delivered. And it's best done if it's done with humor. Now, I want to say something about this, Sean. That's a fairly detailed development of story, those 3 parts, and I'll repeat them in a moment so everybody gets them. But, you know, a story can also be quick, and you can use anecdotes or metaphors to get the message across and deliver. It doesn't always have to be this elaborate story that has these 3 parts. But we like you to sort of develop it that way, and if you want to pull pieces of it, that's good. So just to remind everyone, the 3 parts were set the context of the story, use lots of detail to pull the listener in, put the main characters, part 2, put the main characters in some sort of dilemma or conflict. It's usually the case when you're telling a story maybe about a case or something that's happened in your life. And then the 3rd part of the story resolves the conflict. A message is delivered. And again, we said it's best if you can do it with humor.
Can you give us an example using one of your stories?
Yeah, I will. And Sean, what I'm going to ask people to do that's listening to this segment is listen for the three parts, listen for the detail, listen for the conflict, and listen for the final message. And perhaps after I tell this story, you and I can talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yep.
Okay. So this particular story, I would often tell in front of a group of attorneys. So this is a great group that we're talking to right now. And it's a story that we talk about in giving the message of marketing, so delivering the marketing message. So the story will go like something like this. I've been teaching and educating lawyers about marketing the last 20 years. And one of the things that I found fascinating is that I learned more about marketing from a fisherman than I did from all of the books I've read, all the classes that I've gone to, of everything. I learned most from a professional fisherman. And let me tell you that really how that came about. When I was a young man, all of 29, I was hired by a group of investors who had just bought out a company. It was a multi-million dollar company, small, but it was multi-million dollar. And they hired me to come in and replace the CEO. Now, the CEO was about to leave, and he was selling the business so he could go out and fish professionally. Now, he had done this, and he had endorsements, but he decided it was time to let it all go and go fish. And so he sold the business. And so I had to go with this gentleman around the state of Florida, which, for those who know Florida, it's a very big state, to meet the various vendors and clients before he turned the company over to me. And you may know somebody like this guy. We'll call him Jack because I don't want to give his real name. But Jack was a tall guy. He had a beard, and he was really most comfortable in jeans and plaid shirts. He had a nice pickup truck you may recognize. And he had this interesting speaking habit, is that he didn't use a lot of words. You know, my wife would describe when he woke up in the morning, he was giving 1,000 words to work with. And when he was done, he was done. And so you'd get a lot of yes answers, yep answers, no answers, one-word answers. And so for me, who when I get up in the morning, I've got to use 10,000 words before I get out of bed. For me, this was going to be a problem because we had to drive all over the state for hours in the car, and it was going to be very difficult for me. So I decided to employ a strategy that I knew could pull people out of their cocoon and get them talking. And I asked them about things they're talking about. He sat in the passenger seat and I drove. And I started to ask him questions. And I said, so you like to fish? And he said, yep. And that was it. And I said, well, how did you learn to fish? And he said, my daddy taught me. And that was it. He'd be silent for a while. So I had to really dig, and I kept digging. And over time, he really opened up. He started to animate when he got talking about, very animated when he talked about fishing. And I asked him again, so tell me how your dad taught you how to fish. And he goes, well, my daddy used to take me out to the lake. And when I was a young boy, about 8 or 9, he wouldn't let me fish. For the first 6 months or so, he would take me fishing and not let me fish. He gave me an assignment every time we went out. He said, I want you to go around the lake, and I want you to watch the other people fishing and tell me what you learn. And each time we went out, Jack would say, I'd go out and I'd go around the lake and I'd look at the different fishermen, watch what they were doing, talk to them. And then I'd come back and report to my dad. And so after months and months of this, he finally went through everything I've learned, and he said, now I'm going to give you the most important lesson about fishing. And he said, from now on, I want you to go where the fish are, not the fishermen. And Jack said, and by the way, that dawned on me right away, it's a great message, and it's the message of marketing, is that my father wanted me to learn everything there is about the fish and stop studying the fishermen, because really what I needed to learn was in understanding them. Now, for me, how that translated from marketing lesson is truly, if you want to be a great rainmaker, great marketer, we have to understand the client, where they go, how they go, when they do things, what are their frustrations, and be there when they need us to be there for having the highest probability of getting that case or that client. Now, he was able to tell me, which I found remarkable, if he was fishing for bass or trout, he would tell me what kind of bait he would use, at what depth he would drop the line, at what place in the lake, at what time during the day, and what time during the year to have the greatest probability to catch fish. And so when he went out on the lake, he was more apt to catch fish and the right kind of fish he was looking for than anyone else. So I found this remarkable. And the main message he gave me was, go where the fish are, not the fishermen. So that's the story, Sean.
Okay. Well, let's break this down a little bit. Do you want to talk a little bit about what the message the story conveyed, but also sort of the context that you set that might have been really informative for the listener?
Well, what's the message? Now, I told that a little longer than it probably needs to be told, but what's the message that you pulled away from that, Sean?
Well, I get several things out of it. I get to hear a little bit about your background. I get to know that you're kind of a people person. I get to hear that you were hired at 29 to be head of this company. I hear that you're trying to engage this person, and so that set up a little bit of a conflict, and the resolution was that he ended up sharing with you what translated into a great marketing analogy, and that go where the fish are, not where the fishermen are.
Yeah, and so there's a couple of things. And the message I want people, there's a couple of messages. The underlying message is the credibility, and you hit on it exactly. The stories, we can drop in the pieces of credibility that are background conversation for people, but they pick it up. So that the storyteller in this case, moi, was at a young age a head hired by investors to run a multimillion dollar company, and that's not bad, and that's a good way. You know, it's a good credibility issue. There were dropped in things about the research and the study, the work we've done for the last 20 years on marketing with attorneys. But one of the greatest message or lessons is go where the fish are, not the fishermen.
So this is a story that kind of works on many different levels. Actually, yes. Conveys a lot of different messages, and is probably a little more complex than most of the stories somebody would use in marketing. But it's kind of a good idea of, you know, how you can deliver a really multi-layered message.
Yeah, and it has to be practiced. But drop in the pieces along the way. There's you know, there's another piece to that I'm always, I have to just tell people on this call, is that, you know, what we notice about attorneys is they don't go on the lake. They don't study the fish. They don't go on the lake where they have the best probability. Most of them are sitting behind their desk waiting for the fish to jump out onto their desk and become a client in this case, to unfortunately mix a few metaphors there.
Yes.
But we're not going out there and getting out on the lake. We're not getting out from behind our desk, and that's what we have to learn to do. So the only other thing, Sean, that I want to lay out about here is that sometimes when telling a story, you want to protect the confidentiality of people. So you may be telling a story about one case that you definitely don't want anyone to find out who the participants in that case. So you may borrow characters from another case, so it helps protect the confidentiality, and it reinforces the story. But the message, the facts are true. They you might mix and match a little bit, but it's, you know, it's sort of a white lie.
In the interest of protecting client confidentiality.
Yeah, to do that, and it also makes for a powerful story. So
well,
does that help?
Yep. And let me ask you, how could an attorney sort of work these stories into their daily lives?
Well, you know, a well-crafted story that's practiced, or a metaphor, or an antidote, are built into conversations when people are talking to you about why you became an attorney, or why you're doing the kind of work you do, or how you fought to succeed in a particular case or over great difficulty. They all become part of your conversational strategies. And, you know, if you think about it, these stories are verbal commercials for you and your firm. They entertain, they educate, they make sure the listener understands your values and why you do what you do. And they're hidden gems in the word-of-mouth or referral marketing world.
They are. I would agree. And let's go back to that one question that you asked. The question prompts, you have the one, why did you become an attorney? How do people respond to that? I know these prompts are just sentence stems that you use to stimulate people's thinking so that they can construct their own stories.
Yeah, and what we're doing is we are looking for opportunities to drop these stories in. You know, when we become masterful at marketing and rainmaking, you know, we really are looking for opportunities to tell these stories. We have them in our sort of in our tool belt, if you will, and we're looking for opportunities to drop them in. So I remember working with a litigator, and he was developing his story. And I asked him this question, you know, why did you become an attorney? And he said, and, you know, we prompted and worked through this, but he said, after pondering the question for a little bit, he said, you know, Mark, I guess I've always been an attorney. And I was intrigued by this, so I asked him to go into that a little bit more. He says, well, when I was a kid, and I look back on my childhood, I was the guy that everybody came to settle their arguments on the playground. In college, I was the guy that was elected to be the spokesperson for my fraternity, and when we had to go to the dean, I was the one that was elected to go. Even in law school, people turned to me for advice and help. And I said, well, is there anything else to that? And he said, you know, if it was possible to have been born an attorney, I think I was. But then he added with a chuckle, of course, it helped to have a license now.
So I've heard this story, and I really like the way that he tells it. And, you know, he tells it in kind of a humble fashion with just a little bit of a sense of humor. But it really paints the picture of someone who has inspired a lot of trust and confidence of others since he was, you know, pretty much a kid. So this client had told bits and pieces of the story before, but I don't think he ever recognized it as something that he could polish and use while building relationships and with potential clients and referral sources. And likewise, we want all of you to harvest the wealth of experiences you've had in order to come up with and to craft your own stories. Mark, do you have any other examples of how different attorneys answered this question?
You know, we've got a lot of responses, and you said something great, John. It's for everybody on this segment that's listening to the segment, is that you have a story. Sometimes you just tell it like a punchline. You don't go in and develop the details. You don't pull out all of the information. And that's what we want you to do in constructing your story, because it's the development of these details. It's the development of the conflict. It's the development of the message that you want to tell that makes you a great marketer. So, you know, we've had a lot of responses that we've received when we ask litigators to finish the question. I became a lawyer because. And while some of them aren't full-blown stories, the responses have promise, and that's what they're looking for, is the seeds to build on. And they also reflect what we value. So one response was, I think I became a lawyer because of my uncle. My uncle, his name was Jack. His uncle was Jack. And he said, he had a great deal of influence over me when I was a kid. He was a lawyer. He stood up for those who couldn't defend themselves. And even when I was young, I could tell he was doing something that was important. He was helping people, and I admired that. So we built off of that. Another one said, you know, I was fascinated by law. And even when I was in undergraduate school or when I was young, I studied history. I loved history, and I studied philosophy, and I noticed that one of the things about our country is that lawyers have always stepped up. In the founding of our country, most of the signers were lawyers. In civil rights matters, in our churches, our clergies, our synagogues, all lawyers, not all lawyers, but he said there was a lot of lawyers. They seemed to step up. And there's a reason for this, that we seem to attract leaders to the profession, people that were trained in rational thinking, logic, and I think that all appealed to me. Another one said, you know, I was attracted to it because I noticed attorneys are society's warriors for justice. They lead the charge when it comes to making society work, protecting people, and standing up for the defenseless. They become senators and congressmen. They devote their lives to public service, and I wanted to be one of them.
Well, here's an example of what one client says as sort of his finished story, inspired by the question, why did you become an attorney? And what he says is, I approach my practice like it is my mission. My parents were educators, so for me, being a lawyer is how I contribute. I provide a defense for people who have nowhere else to turn. I used to be a public defender, but I got fed up with the system. I opened my own practice years ago because the public defenders don't have time to construct the proper defense for their clients. In this city, they're really overlooked and the dockets are packed. They're overworked and the dockets are packed. Clients are sort of moved through like cattle. No one really takes time with them. In my firm, we take time with people, some of whom are in the wrong place at the wrong time. And we truly advocate for them. It's how I give back.
Yeah, they're going to have to, everyone on this, listening to this segment, Sean, is going to have to find their own sort of story in there. They're going to look into their own life experiences and truly look to why they became a lawyer. Another prompt that I'll use when I'm coaching litigators through this process, I'll ask, you know, what had you be passionate? Why? What are you passionate about in the practice of law? And they'd say things like, well, I'm passionate about my practice, or I'm passionate about litigation because. And that's usually a prompt that helps them.
And what kind of responses do you get?
Well, they'll say things like, I feel like I'm actually able to make a difference for people. They come to me with complex problems. I use my education, my training, my imagination to help them solve these problems and get what they need. So they say things like that, but they really tap into the passion.
I want to point out that a lot of these prompts and some of these phrases are reminiscent of the laser talk. And in some cases, they're expansions of what might otherwise be found in somebody's laser talk. Laser talk, you know, implies that, you know, it's short, it's brief, it's to the point. But some of the points you do make in your laser talk can really be expanded on and may be the source of good stories for you. So another prompt you use when coaching people on constructing a story is the type of people you like to help is.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, one of the best answers I've heard is the reason I like to help these people is someone helped me when I was young. I remember one litigator saying, when I was a young man, I don't tell a lot of people, but I was arrested. And I'm telling you, it was a scary, scary day for me. And if it wasn't for one attorney who stood up and took care of me during that process, I wouldn't be here today being able to help other people. Now, you wouldn't normally tell that story, but if you were a criminal lawyer in that area of litigation, you would let people know. They want to let people know. The story let them know that I'm like you. I was arrested when I was a little young man, and it scared the daylights out of me. Now, it wasn't anything that serious, but it was scary enough for me, and it could have changed the course of my life. Instead, the lawyer that helped me changed the course of my life. So, you know, we like to say that marketing is about building relationship, developing rapport, helping people understand, our referral source and our clients, that we are like them. Because people like to work with people that are like them, and they like people that are like them. So the story, it's one more element where the story helps us do that. And Sean, you said something also that was great again. You say these great things all the time, but the laser talk is a great way to look for pieces of my story. And we've talked about laser talk in other assets and other segments we've worked on, and you can go back and listen to that segment. But it's also a great tool for getting the pieces of your story. And the story often should reinforce your laser talk. That makes sense, Sean?
It does. You use another phrase as well. The reason I like to help people is. That's another prompter you use. What kind of answers do you get there?
Well, and that's the one I just got, Sean, the one about the criminal lawyer. I think that, I like that in this case he said it. Because I like to help people when I was a young person. So, you know, there's other things. I like to help people. You know, they can say I've taken advantage. People have been taken advantage of. I notice that I like coming to their defense. I like being able to help them, get them what they deserve when they've been wrong. So those sort of things.
Okay. So how can our listeners take these initial responses and you know, the initial responses to these prompts that we've talked about, and really any other story ideas that they might have, and turn them into a story or an anecdote?
I'd like them to spend some time thinking about their life experiences, their practice experience, answering those questions, why did I become an attorney? Why am I passionate about this area of law? And write down their thoughts. Think about these thoughts and these initial stories as raw materials that they can work from to construct their marketing stories. And then once they do, I want them to name those stories. But as they outline this raw material, I'd like them to ask themselves, what are their motivations as they went through these experiences? Think about the details of the people involved. And write that stuff down, because that's all going to make up your story. It's not going to come out all at once. They'll have to sort of deliver it over time. But it'll really come together if they practice it. But and also name it. That story I just told them is the fishing story. So anytime I want it, I pull out the fishing story.
And before you called stories the stealth bombers of marketing, can you explain that again in light of the stories you've just told?
Yeah, because, and I think it should be clear to everyone, that stories can convey a great deal of information about ourselves, about our practice, about the kind of clients we work with, about a message we want to get across to our clients. Sean, I remember this. I'm just to throw this one thing. I remember a litigator that he used to tell, he would first listen, and it's always important. We know that marketing is really about listening to our referral sources and clients. As, you know, our story said, listen to the fish, you know, go where the fish are. But I had one litigator, and I remember that he would listen to the referral source of the client, and when he started to explain the law, the things that he did, his expertise, he would relate it to them in terms of their expertise. So if a farmer came in, he would tell the story in the context of farming. Or if an engineer came in, he would tell the story in context of engineering. Excuse me, he would talk about the law in context of engineering. So he would try to relate it to something they already easily understood so that they could understand his expertise. And they would say, boy, he really knows how to communicate. He understands me.
One of the basic tenets of storytelling would be know your audience.
Yeah.
And tailor what your pitch is, what your conversational strategy is to the person that you're talking to, you know, to maximize its effectiveness.
Absolutely. You know, when I tell the fishing story, as I always says, is anyone in the audience a fish like to fish? And I get a few hands, and I'll talk to them, and then I'll remind the others about this. Because I don't like to fish, but I relate to the ones. First, I'll say, the ones that like to fish, and then the ones that don't, I will say, I'm not much of a fisherman myself, but I understand fishing, and they do too. So it pulls them in from that perspective. But I love that he listened to that, what they did for a living, what they're interested in, what their hobbies, and he would relate his expertise to that. So it helped them understand the area of law and what was going to happen and put in terms they understood, and they really got that the attorney understood them. So
stories are very powerful teaching tools, and they can really teach people about you as a lawyer. They can demonstrate what you value. They can talk about who you help and why you help them.
Yeah.
And obviously, you don't have to be the hero in every one of your stories. If you're self-deprecating, that can be engaging. It can be humbling. Humor is always an important element if you can work it into one of your stories. So once you have the story idea, you should just polish the story and maybe start out with people in your family to practice it on?
Absolutely. Write down the speaking points. Write down the, make sure you're looking for the conflict, looking for how it's resolved, and then practice it out just as you said, Sean. Start with your spouse, start with your friends, start with your staff, and then start with your closest referral sources. And don't tell them you're practicing it, but drop it in and see the reaction to the story. Watch people. Watch and see if it's too long. See if people are getting the message, if they're chuckling at the right place. And see if the message is being left behind.
So you've got to rehearse it several times. You've got to give it some trial runs, and that's all in the process of refining it. And like you say, don't tell people that you're practicing. Just work it into the conversation.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Tell us again how to acquire this asset.
Well, to get this asset and claim it and to increase your profile, your Rainmaker profile, you're going to have three name stories that you've constructed. And you're going to have to use them at least 10 times so that people are getting them. So you want to make sure that they feel that you can see that they're being informed, they're being educated about your potential clients or the referral source or the kind of work you do. So you have to practice it at least 10 times.
Any final words about this ancient art of storytelling?
You know, the I think that people can get that this is a very powerful narrative tool that can make an enormous difference for their marketing. And if they apply it, like the other things we've talked about, it'll just strengthen their ability as a marketer.
Well, thank you, Mark, for discussing this very important part of the rainmaking process. We've been talking about asset number 5, storytelling. As always, we are Sean McNallis and Mark Powers, co-founders of Atticus, and we're dedicated to helping you grow your practice. Thanks for joining us.